be in charge of their money, be in charge of your wealth and your personal portfolio. Don't rely on others to manage it for you. You need to be the champion for that. And being able to deploy equity in any sort of market condition, as long as there's a sound, safe deal to put it in, that's ultimately what we're trying to do.
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know. Share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further. Welcome back to another episode of Weiss Advice. I'm your host, Yona Weiss. Awesome to be here today with Danny Randazzo. Excited to have you on the show, Danny. Finally, it's been a long time coming.
I know it's been a long time coming. Grateful to be here. Glad. I know we were trying to record this several weeks ago, if not a month or two ago, and had some technical difficulties and rescheduling, but very excited to be here and, you know, chat real estate with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those of you who don't know Danny, he is one of the co-founders and managing partners of PassiveInvesting.com. Trivia question, if you can figure out how much they bought that domain for, but that's a story for a different day. One of the reasons I'm really excited about this is Danny's partner, Dan Hanford, was the first guest on Weiss Advice podcast that we published close to 3 years ago. And by the time this airs, it will probably be just about 3 years ago. We released that in June of 2020. And I just want to jump right in here, Danny, just so we can just have an idea of how this company and you guys have grown over the past few years. On that episode, Dan had mentioned that at the time, you guys had approximately $270 million in assets under management, which was a little over 2,000 multifamily units. Okay. Now, 3 years later, catch us up to where your portfolio and what the company looks like today.
Yeah. So we've grown a little bit since then, and I was trying to pull up our exact stats. We are roughly at about 1.5 billion in AUM. So what is that? Just under maybe a 8x or so.
Yeah.
Since then, and we came through, you know, some odd times, right? 2020, I think, was the COVID timeframe. Then 21 post-COVID, 2022, same kind of deal. And then halfway through 22 and into 2023, we had kind of the global economic uncertainty, slowdown, supply chain issues, interest rate hikes, a variety of things. So really grateful for what we've accomplished, but also, you know, a combination of making good business decisions and kind of getting lucky at the same time. So, you know, one of the big focuses back in 2020, when you first had Dan on, we really shifted our focus going away from Class B multifamily products and really starting to focus on the Class A newer stuff built within the last, you know, 5 to 10 years or so. And that really worked out and proved to be a great business strategy. Through COVID, there was a lot of uncertainty of if residents could afford to pay and challenges shutting down, employees not getting paid. But we had really great properties, great residents with great jobs, and didn't really have any major challenges through COVID. Our collections remained very sound and stable. So really grateful for that. And like I said, we kind of slowly stepped away from the Class B heavy value add investing because the returns were not quite as robust. Like if a Class B was generating I'm making it up, a 15 IRR, and we could buy a Class A that had a 13 IRR, we were saying to ourselves, man, we're doing a lot of work, a lot of risk to make 2 extra percent. maybe we won't do that and we'll buy this product. And it,
right.
you know, we got lucky with that. Through that time period, we also said, hey, you know, our investors at passiveinvesting.com want to have a diversified personal portfolio, just like, you know, Dan and myself want to have. And so we started going into these different asset classes and building out another team. So
right.
we had multifamily piece really ironed out, very efficient, very effective. We started buying self-storage facilities. We got into a hotel project, and we've started buying express car wash facilities. And we've also got our lending business. And so across those different opportunities, we can really cater to the needs and the wants of our investors to have a diversified portfolio that still gets the great tax advantages that real estate can provide. It provides the steady cash flows, and you have a great secure place to put your money, you know, kind of first and foremost. So that's where we've come, and the team has grown. If anyone, you know, kind of wants to see how we break out our businesses or all the team members that we have, just check us out, passiveinvesting.com.
That's awesome. And I mean, you've grown extensively, obviously talking about the different branches of the company and growing kind of organically, I think, but the exponential growth that you have seen is really, I mean, a testament to you guys who are running the company from the top down and, you know, seeing the growth, like you said, the number of people. I mean, 3 years ago, it was just basically you, Danny, Dan, and Brandon, the third partner, each one of you with your kind of unique or different skill set that brought to the table and made such a great partnership. But now, I mean, I don't think last time we spoke, you were over 50 or 60 employees.
Yeah, across all of our company, we have, or excuse me, across all of our different companies, we've got a couple hundred employees wow. now. And Brandon actually elected at the end of 2022, he retired from the business. And so Dan and I are kind of running the ship. But like you said, it was very important at the beginning of this partnership. We had a diverse background and skill set that we brought to the table. To get to where we are today with that growth, we brought a lot of skill sets to it. So it wasn't like we were starting from ground zero.
Mm-hmm.
Dan has some successful medical clinics, some other kind of marketing sales businesses that he has ran and been a part of, managed many different employees, larger volumes. I have that skill set from my consulting days of working with multi-billion dollar businesses, managing teams, hiring and managing people. So those skill sets really provided us the ability to not only roll our sleeves up and do the work, because when we started, we were doing every job under the sun. There were That's zero right. employees day one.
Right.
It was just as partners, and we did everything from sourcing deals, underwriting deals, talking to investors, you know, communicating with investors, working with lenders, finding other professionals, whether it's attorney, cost segregation. We did all of that. And we had always envisioned meeting a team and building that out very methodically and kind of key team member at a time to alleviate and take off some of the activities to free up our time to focus on the growth and other aspects of the business.
Absolutely. And I think one of the most amazing things about the company, and not to just have be a plug for the whole company this whole episode, but it has been the combination of obviously not just running and operating very successful real estate businesses and investments and building that investor list, but also providing great educational products and seminars. I mean, Dan was really the first one to have such consistent online forums, even before COVID, these, you know, multifamily investor nation virtual, you know, summits that were going on prior to even when it became popular with COVID, that everyone was doing these virtual summits, bringing on guest speakers until, you know, last year that you guys started and did the first in-person event, the MFIN conference, which, by the way, parenthetically, was probably the best in-person conference I have been to in years. And
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm not just saying that. And I'm plugging it.
I mean, if you check your social media feed, you're at like a conference a day. So, you know,
I go to a lot of conferences.
That's a great, you know, we very much appreciate that advice coming from such a conference professional.
It was awesome on so many levels. And, you know, obviously for the first time having done a conference in person, I think even with everything that does go wrong in the first time doing a conference, it was, to the naked eye, it was not discernible. It just seemed like it went off without a hitch. And I'm excited for hopefully this episode airing in time for people to still get tickets for MFI and Con 2023, which is happening in Charlotte, June 12th through 14th. You go to mfincon.com. Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes. Anyways, guys, check it out. Cool. Use promo code Yona. I don't even know how to spell my own name. You guys know how to spell my name, Yonah, and get some money off your ticket there. Anyways, back to, that was from our sponsor today. Anyway, Danny, back to our question. Besides building this online and this in-person and this real estate empire, which you guys have done, I mean, how do you see things going on right now? Obviously, you mentioned things have changed in your business model. You've gone into hospitality, you've gone into self-storage, the lending side of things. Is there one focus right now in 2023, which with everything going on in the economy, one thing that you're focusing more than others, or any new things that you're bringing onto the table?
The biggest thing that we're focused on is, you know, capital preservation. So we're still looking for multifamily opportunities. They're a little bit fewer and further between to come by. Self-storage is kind of in that same realm. We're seeing really good opportunity in the express car wash space. So we found a really good operational model that we can kind of rinse and repeat in markets that we like. And so
no pun intended.
What's that?
No pun intended there.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't even think about that, but I see what I did there. So we can rinse and repeat that business model. And the capital preservation, you know, just with the uncertainty, we've always been a conservative group. We're not trying to hit home run deals every single time. We want a safe place to protect our money, an opportunity to make money along the way, get some tax advantages, and kind of slowly build wealth over time. And so that is the forefront message for 2023. I think there's really great opportunities that we will uncover and be able to invest in. What we've seen so far is that there is still an appetite from investors. You still need to deploy capital and equity out into deals. If you are leaving your money in the bank, as we've seen with some of the craziness in March of 2023 with a few of those banks that ran into some liquidity issues, it's a reminder for folks to be in charge of their money, be in charge of your wealth and your personal portfolio. Don't rely on others to manage it for you. You need to be the champion for that.
Right.
And being able to deploy equity in any sort of market condition, as long as there's a sound, safe deal to put it in, that's ultimately what we're trying to do. And so we know from our investors and ourselves that, hey, there's money that we need to go out and deploy it, and we want it securely protected, and we'd like it to be making money along the way. Because if it's just sitting on the sidelines, you're not earning anything. You know, everyone likes to say you're losing money because of inflation or interest rates, whatever it is. So getting that money deployed and into a safe, secure place where you have the opportunity to make a return along the way is what we're trying to do.
Absolutely. And with that, I'm curious a little bit about one of the branches. Obviously, there are a lot of people in the real estate investing space. There are plenty of multifamily operators out there, self-storage. Buying the hotel and the car wash space is a little bit different. I love the fact that you've been able to create those channels of investments for your investors within the company. But one thing that's a little bit different is that lending angle or that lending company. Tell me a little bit more about that. What does that mean? What is that offering? Is like a fund of some sorts where you're deploying hard money? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just curious.
Yeah. The lending business, we've had decades of very successful experience doing hard money loans on a much kind of smaller personal scale. And a need arose when we saw all of these investment opportunities kind of with long-term equity lockout horizons, right? Mm-hmm. You invest in a multifamily deal, your money is kind of tied up for 5 years. You can't get access to it unless the deal sells early, or, you know, it could extend beyond the 5 year period if you're holding on to it a little bit longer. And so, you know, we saw an opportunity with our experience of being able to deploy short-term loans. It gave investors, again, a safe place to put your money. These are first position lien loans. There's personal guarantees. The borrowers are very heavily vetted. They have to have a lot of experience in the real estate space. So we can give out a short-term 6 month loan, make monthly interest on it, and then go out and do another 6 month loan. And what we're able to create is a fund model where investors can put their capital in. It immediately gets diversified across all of these loans in the portfolio. So it's safer. It's making a monthly return. And there's a liquidity option for investors to get their money back in a short period of time. So if an investor put in $100,000 today, knowing that they needed to pay for taxes due next year, college education, they're going to take a trip or buy a car, they can at least have that money working over the short term. And then in the future, if there a need arises for that individual, if there's a capital spend they need to do or a health emergency, unfortunately, right, they can invest that capital back plus the return. And we found that it was just a great balance based on, again, I said, you need to be the champion of your own money. And so personal portfolio should be diversified with, you know, longer term investments, shorter term investments, and that crucial bucket of investments with quicker turnaround in the liquidity standpoint. And so, you know, rather than having people have hundreds of thousands of dollars in a checking account, you can put it over here in the lending business and still have access to it when they need it. And so it's been very successful. We really launched officially about a year and a half ago. We've done $169 million in loans to date.
What's the typical size of those loans that you guys are giving out?
Typical size is probably around $175,000. Okay. So it's a typically to like a fix and flip investor, right? They're going to buy a house for, let's say, $150,000. They're going to put $25,000 of improvements into it. So that's kind of how they get to the 175 loan, but it's worth $300,000. And so their whole goal is to buy it at a discount, fix it up, and then list it as quickly as possible and turn a profit on that. So that's kind of the typical model. You know, if someone's interested in learning more, just reach out and I can kind of better explain some of the loan programs.
No, that's amazing. And that's a lot of loans to process and to get through in a year and a half.
It is. We've probably done about 850, a little over that.
Yeah.
But again, for us as operators, and we've got a great partner, Kelly, who really runs that entire borrower loan servicing side. When we think about starting a new business unit, it's not, you know, we're kind of bootstrapping it, but we're also bootstrapping it as institutional investors. And so, you know, we have this really, really robust institutional quality software that we use to originate loans and service loans, very similar to what like a top five bank in the US would use. And so our model is always have, you know, the best tools at our disposal to be extremely effective in running and operating businesses. And so, you know, that's just a model, I think, that really separates entrepreneurs from being productive or successful in their own right versus, you know, being highly successful and highly effective. It takes not only hard work, but really effective tools. It'd be a similar concept of like, you know, if you're trying to build a house and you're going to do it all with manual labor and no power tools, like you right. could be effective. You can build a beautiful house. It might take you 5 years to do it with just a hammer and nails. But if you have these power tools, you can build it more effectively, more precisely, and a little bit faster.
Yeah. And, you know, just to continue that analogy, if you were to do it all by yourself, right, as opposed to right. having a huge team of experts in their individual crafts, you know,
precisely.
I think what you've done is, you know, brought in experts on your team who, you know, who are, you know, good with car washes, who are good with lending, who are good with self-storage already previously, and therefore been able to effectively grow those teams to the extent they have, because you've had the experts doing their own thing and not trying to figure out everything on your own.
Most definitely. Or if you don't have the expert on your team, you outsource it and you can find really great experts. You know, it'd be the same thing. Like, I'm sure one of our really smart team members could figure out how to do a cost seg study, but it doesn't make sense for us to learn that when we can work with you and your team and get it done to the best of the ability by professionals with many years of experience that we don't have. The ROI is not there. We would spend hundreds of hours trying to figure it out versus, you know, working with you and your team and getting that done quickly and knowing that it's right, it's accurate, and it's the best that we're going to get.
Yeah, 100%. And there's so many little tiny things like that. Amazing. Well, Danny, I want to transition now to what we call the final four. These are four questions. Incredible how the time flew by, but these are four questions I ask all my guests. And first question to you is, what's the worst job that you ever had?
I wouldn't consider any job the worst. I learned a tremendous amount from all of them. And growing up, I was always an entrepreneur. So I was the kid in the neighborhood with like the lawn mowing business. I would paint whatever you needed. I would fix sprinkler systems. I'd do landscaping, kind of manual labor stuff. The hardest job I ever had, I was probably, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 years old, and I would fix up people's beaches in the springtime to get ready for summers in Michigan. And I would move wheelbarrows full of sand that weighed probably two or three times as much as I did, and sweating in the hot summer heat, shoveling yards and yards of sand, which is measured by dump trucks full, a lot of sand, like multiple days, 12-hour days. So that was hard, but it taught me a very valuable lesson of how hard people work for their money. And so
right.
I never had a terrible job that I just despise. Like, I'm kind of the mindset, like, if something isn't working for you, you're responsible to change it. So I kind of liked them all. That was probably the hardest job.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely sounds like a hard job. And I mean, characterizing something as a bad job, I totally get that. But, you know, on a scale of best to worst, there's probably one that in that regard, it probably fits in to that category.
Sure.
Second question is, what's a book you've read that's given you a paradigm shift?
Oh, many books. So one specific example that jumps out, Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill. I remember it to this day. My wife and I were on a vacation. We were in Italy. I was reading the book and I got to the chapter on goal setting and the words hit me perfectly and I'm getting goosebumps right now.
Wow.
The words about setting a goal, of having a goal that's well-defined, that's measurable, and has a time to it. I wrote down my goal to basically the amount of income I needed to generate from a passive income perspective by a certain time in order to quit my job in the consulting world. And that paradigm shift occurred right then. And the book hit me just at the right time. And that's really allowed me to write goals down that are, again, measurable and have a timestamp to them. And I immediately buy into it because it's worked for me a couple of times in the past. And so I know I can put pen to paper. Literally, I have the sheet of paper with me from that trip in Italy with the goal I wrote down. And, you know, I always encourage people sometimes reading 10 different books about, I don't know, financial freedom or like money mindset or investing, one book, one sentence, one chapter is going to hit you when you are ready to read it and interpret it correctly. Right. So I enjoy reading. I try to read a lot of different books, but that's just one example. I've got many different ones that they just hit you at the right time. And it's the same message I probably read 10 different ways before, but this one message was crucial.
Yeah. And I love that, you know, fact bringing that up and even reading books over and over again, because the messages, like you said, will hit you at the right time when you need to hear them. Hopefully, I mean, they will.
Correct.
That's so powerful. Speaking of books, you've actually written a couple of children's books. Is that correct? Can you tell us about that?
I've got two children's books, all focused on kind of money and financial mindset, that are great reads for kids to get them thinking about money and really trying to remove the taboo-ness around money conversation within the household. It's the, you know, parents' job or adults' job to really be comfortable with money, mm-hmm. talk to kids about money, and get people into a better mindset financially. I've got another adult book I wrote actually with our lending business partner, Kelly, about kind of the roadmap to financial freedom. So that's a great handbook for someone who's looking to try to kind of rinse and repeat what Kelly and myself have done and how we've built these businesses. And then, you know, the passinvesting.com team, we've got a multifamily investing book that will be coming out very soon. So probably by the time this show airs, you'll be able to pick up that book about being a very effective, active, or even passive investor.
Awesome. Looking forward to that. And we'll make sure to put the links to all that in the show notes when this does go live. And for the third question, which is, what's a skill or talent that you'd like to learn? And this can be anything.
Skill or talent that I would like to learn. I have been brushing up on my Italian. I'm enough to be dangerous in a conversation, but I'd like to be a little bit more effective and fluent in that. So, you know, sometimes in my free time, I do the little free app on the phone mm-hmm. and practice with that. But it's just one thing I'm working on.
Awesome. Love that. And I think it's great. Learning language is probably one of the best things a person can do, I think, as a skill talent. And surprisingly, or not so surprisingly, it's one of the most common answers we get on the show. So is learning a new
That's
language.
That's funny.
Yeah, not necessarily Italian, but a language of some kind.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. Nice. I think maybe it's, and I actually posted about this a while ago back on LinkedIn. And one of the comments I got from someone when I shared this, you know, unique kind of insight, that when I asked this question, such a large percentage of people say to learn either a new language or a musical instrument. And one of the answers, someone actually commented, well, perhaps, you know, people who are, you know, successful in business and have other, you know, business talents and acumen, this is something, you know, if they would want to learn. And I wasn't sure that was necessarily the case, because true, obviously, if someone wasn't successful in business, maybe they would choose to learn how to do business well, or how to invest in real estate, or whatever that may be. But I think learning a language, you know, triggers your mind in a way and actually helps spark your intellect in a way that almost, you know, nothing else does.
Yeah, I could see that. I think mine probably comes from like a little passion of traveling too. Mm-hmm. And so you know, I think there's so many different talents that people could have. You know, if your thing is like being a lot more social, maybe it is learning that musical instrument so you can go into the social setting and kind of be the star, or doing that. But just, you know, everyone is so different. And it's very curious to me. It makes my mind think, that kind of intellectual side of like, why are so many people wanting to learn a language or learn a musical skill set? And it just makes my mind tick as to why that behavior is that way.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So, fourth and final question for you, Danny, what does success mean to you?
Success to me is somewhat ever-changing. I think people kind of 1 year, 5, 10 year goals. And so that achieving those goals to me is successful. Being a great spouse and father are very important on my success board. And I think ultimately, the ultimate definition of success is really being fulfilled with who you are, what you do, and who you can help.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to hit all three of those. And like I said, they're kind of ever changing. So, you know, as I sit here today, I am in the process of achieving success. I'm fulfilled with who I am, what I do, and how I help people, but I still want to do a lot more. And mm-hmm. So I've got a long way to go, and we'll just keep, you know, plugging away at it day by day.
Awesome. Love that. Well, finally, Danny, where can our listeners find you or reach out to you if they want to?
PassiveInvesting.com.
There you go. Said it again. And if you see this, it's on his hat, so you can't miss it. Guys, PassiveInvesting.com. It's really been a pleasure, Danny. I'm so glad we finally got the chance to do this, and looking forward to seeing you in Charlotte in June.
That's right. Early June, I will see you there.
Awesome. And to our listeners, thank you guys for listening all the way to the end once again. And remember, until next time, the best advice comes only when you ask. Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn. Send me a DM, a connection request, Yona Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.